Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Dead center of the work week. We made it. Top of the mountain. We've summited after hours with Amy Lawrence and another work week. Now, it's maybe a bit unfair, maybe a bit disingenuous, the fact that I'm exulting in the hump show, because it's actually not my middle show this week, but it usually is, and it's probably the middle day for you, or middle night, depending on what shift you work. And so I'll celebrate with you and also just a little bit giddy because mom will be arriving in New Jersey. First time in 3 years, mom's visiting me at my home. She'll be arriving in under 6 hours. So early plane flight. Can I tell you a bazillion reasons why I love my hubs? But the fact that there's another person in the house who can drive to the airport is amazing. I said to him, babe, I will go with you. If you need to work and you can't rearrange your schedule, I will go get mom. No. You go to bed. You take a nap. I'll go get her. And then a few seconds later, wow, I'm going to see your mom before you do. But it's so nice. People ask me all the time, what's the best thing about being married? And the best thing is having a partner in life. It's amazing to share the good, the bad, the ugly, and all the mundane and boring and routine that fills up most of our lives. It's not all exciting and adventure, though I do look forward to those things. But yeah, just something as simple as being able to take the load off of another human's plate. So getting the chance to help him out when he needs it. And in this case, he's helping me out so I can take a nap. Now, I have not finished dust mopping the floors yet. It won't take long, but I'm going to get home in the morning and dust mop the floors and then quick take a nap. And I'm assuming that I will wake up. The dog's going to be barking because she's not used to visitors. Goodness, my mom spent more time in the house than she has, for heaven's sakes. But she's nervous. She's not used to visitors. And I'm thinking I'll probably end up hearing mom and Bob talking. But even a couple hours nap is better than being up all day Wednesday. It's good cause, though. Can't wait to have mom in town. So for that reason, I will be out the next two nights, my last two nights off until November, unless something unforeseen happens, like I don't know, get sick, lose my voice, something along those lines. That's very rare. Doesn't generally happen. This is the voice that I've got. It's the voice I was blessed with. It is what it is. And no, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, so it didn't get this way because I was a smoker, just me. I did a lot of yelling, a lot of singing in my lifetime, so I suppose that impacted it. Earlier in my career, not something I talk about a lot, but earlier in my career, I did have to go to a voice specialist, a doctor in Oklahoma City, because I was having a hard time. I was living in Oklahoma at the time, and I was just really struggling with the voice that was seemingly always hoarse. Now, part of it was I got allergies when I moved out there, the wind, the dust. I'd never had allergies before. But really, the bulk of it was that I was working mornings and nights. I was kind of a one-man band, if you will, for a large news and sports station, 100,000-watt signal. It traveled for miles in every direction. And what is really flat terrain in Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas. And I had a boss who expected me to be available 24 hours a day. And it just got to the point that I was overworking and pushing my vocal cords too much. And I never could get my voice back completely. I was scared to death. I put it off for months. I wouldn't go see a doctor because I was afraid of what he was going to tell me. And when I finally did go see him and he put a scope down my throat to look at my cords, he said, if you don't stop talking now, you're going to have permanent damage. And he put me on 2 weeks, no vocal word spoken, 2 weeks of no talking. And of course, my mother would call me and ask me how I'm doing. Mom, I'm not supposed to be talking. So I didn't. I did nothing more than whisper for 2 weeks. And I really didn't even do that very often, only when mom called. And it was scary as heck. I did a lot of praying that God would restore my vocal cords. He did. So not only did I take those 2 weeks off, but I learned, I went to a voice specialist. I went to a voice coach, if you will, and learned how to take care of my voice, learned how to preserve it. So this is crazy. I stopped yelling at, well, it's more screaming and screeching like in your upper register. But as an emotional girl, I used to do that a lot when I was younger, especially playing sports. And so I stopped yelling, screaming, stopped screaming at any type of sporting event or at the TV or at people. Just kidding. I don't scream at people. But I stopped using my voice at a, you know, an extreme level in that upper register that's kind of screaming and screeching. So I very rarely yell anymore, other than the woos, which that's lower register. This is, I know, very technical, but I had to make that change. I also drink a lot more water than I used to when I was younger, because that's one way that you can repair your vocal cords. But really the only way to do it, if you're dealing with some type of hoarseness or laryngitis, the number one way to restore your cords is rest, meaning don't talk, and sleep. And so there, now this happens less now that I've got another person in the house, but I usually in the past had taken one day a week, either Saturday or Sunday, and don't talk much at all. Or if I do, it's, you know, it's limited. It's a phone conversation, something along those lines. Now that's, it's not, I wouldn't say it's impossible to do, but it's a little more challenging when you live with someone. I guess we could text back and forth from two different rooms in the house, but he's really understanding. So try to get sleep. I try to limit the talking on the weekends, at least Saturday or Sunday, and then no yelling, no screaming, no screeching. And thankfully they came back and they're strong and I rarely lose my voice anymore. But yeah, it's a pretty traumatic time in my life until I understood how these vocal cords are actually fragile. And if you do damage to them, you hear about singers all the time that end up getting surgery to remove polyps and to repair vocal cords. And I'm thankful that I caught it in time. The doctor gave me solutions. It was pretty scary though. So now not a day goes by that I am not thankful for these cords and how strong they are. As you can imagine, it's the moneymaker. I mean, it's not a lot of money, but enough to pay the bills. We work in radio. There's never a lot of money. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's our hump show. It's the middle show of the work week. I will not be talking to you the next couple nights, taking a couple nights off to hang out with mama. Can't wait. And it's going to be probably boring as heck. Wait until I tell you what she sent to the house. This is what she wants to do when she's visiting me, which is great, but it is kind of funny about how boring we're going to be. But she did send two packages through Amazon to the house. That, my friends, is your tease. I will tell you and ask Amy anything. You'll have to ask me what my mom sent to the house so that we could entertain ourselves when she's visiting. She actually just came off a week at my brother's and they did a bunch of sightseeing and they went out to Dumpling Queen, my brother's favorite restaurant. Yeah, I don't know that we're going to do anything that exciting. Just kidding. I've got at least one thing planned for her, but she really doesn't want to do much more than just relax and hang out. 855-212-4227. Online, A-Law Radio, or our show Twix at Amy After Hours, plus our Facebook page. You've got about a half hour left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's good to have you with us as we've crested the mountain here of this work week. And yes, getting more and more dynamic, prominent, more and more intense when it comes to football, right? It's just around the corner. I don't know how many of you have already planned your fantasy football drafts. I actually haven't. The commissioner of our league who you may know, Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network. That's the league that I've been in now for, I think, 5 years. She waits until the very last second. Sometimes she sends us the invite to be part of the fantasy football league, and we're a day away from the draft. She's got a lot on her plate. She travels during the preseason for NFL Network. The last few years, she's been in Buffalo. I forgot where she is this year, but it's somewhere different. Anyway, so she's busy, and I generally wait on her rather than joining another league. But that's coming up, fantasy football drafts. We've got second week of preseason now on the horizon. And you know, when we get to this Thursday, we're exactly 3 weeks from the season opener. Yeah, fist pump. I agree with Ryan, just gave a fist pump. But it also does mean the end of the summer, proverbially.
Summer's been over.
It's been over for whom?
Me.
Why?
Since the Olympics are over.
Oh, and now your summer's done?
Yeah, so once it's hit below 70 degrees and the Olympics are over, it's a double whammy. Now it's fall.
Huh. It's an interesting theory. Okay, so yes, in the New York area, which is where our headquarters are located, we've had a couple of nights where it's been below 70. In fact, when I got home to my neighborhood on Tuesday morning, it was 59 degrees. Brilliant. We had all the windows open. It was amazing. I actually used a cover when I went to sleep for the first time in a long time. But it's not going to stay that way. You know that, right? It's supposed to be up to 90 degrees again by the end of the week.
I know, but my mind is like,
huh. Now it's a taste of fall.
Now it's fall. Now I need to wear hoodies and drink pumpkin spice lattes.
Wow. I love that a dude can admit to that. Pumpkin spice lattes.
They're good.
They are. They are very good. No other argument necessary. I'm a pumpkin shill. I don't care what people say about me. I love all things pumpkin. I make pumpkin s'mores. I make a spicy pumpkin corn chowder that is to die for. I love cooking with pumpkin bread, pumpkin muffins. Yes, pumpkin creamer and pumpkin flavor in my coffee. Absolutely. I didn't know we shared that, Ryan.
Well, I don't use pumpkin that much. I like pumpkin spice lattes, though.
Oh, okay. From where?
Starbucks, coffee places.
Dunkin'?
I haven't tried it from Dunkin'.
No, there's a Dunkin' just a few blocks up here. You could try one if you're doing a shift during the daytime here at the Infinity Sports Network. Three blocks north, there's a Dunkin', and they are all in pumpkin once we get past Labor Day.
So that's soon.
It is soon, which is kind of crazy, right? So coming up, yeah, next Monday, 2 weeks to Labor Day. Stop it. Okay, stop it.
See, it's basically fall.
It's not basically fall. Not yet. I'm milking every last bit of summer that I can. And actually, we have one more trip to Texas. It's going to be rough. We've got three family weddings this year in Texas on my hub side. And the third one is the same weekend that the NFL season kicks off. And you got to wonder, considering that I married into a Texas Longhorns family, for the most part, there are a few Aggies fans, but I married into a Longhorns family. The family members who are getting married, or the guy who's getting married, he lives in Austin and went to UT, and he scheduled his wedding. Now, he probably didn't know this. They scheduled their wedding on the same day as Texas, Michigan. What? Now, in Central Time, that game will kick off at 11 a.m., so the wedding's not until the evening. There'll be plenty of time for everyone to be watching. But yeah, as we're all heading to the site of the wedding, which is up north, closer to the Oklahoma border, we're all heading to the site of the wedding, and every single one of us has to make plans at an Airbnb, the groom's room, blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's all these different Texas watch parties among the people who are traveling to the wedding. Not to mention it's the first weekend of the NFL season, and so it's going to be some complicated travel, let me just tell you.
That ruins the entire wedding.
Well, not if Texas wins.
Even if they lose.
No, if they lose, in fact, the groom's already said if they lose, he's going to be in a really bad mood. He said if the game starts to go horribly wrong off the rails for UT, for the Longhorns, he's going to make everyone turn it off so no one can watch it anymore, so he's not in a bad mood when he walks down the aisle. This is why the weekend I got married, which was an NFL Sunday, I'll just admit it, I did not pay any attention. I did not want to be distracted by football. But the entire wedding party, as well as all the family members, plus the people who are going, almost all of them will have watched this game earlier in the day.
It seems like a bad move. It just is.
I'm thinking that they probably picked that date before they knew Texas, Michigan. But early in the NFL season, early in the college football season, you got to think, if you plan your wedding in September, this is want to happen.
Their schedules are out a long time before, so this must be a pre-planned wedding for like close to a year.
Mm. Well, my wedding was planned in 6 months, and I did pick an NFL Sunday. But you know what, Ryan? This is something you'll learn. As you get older, I'm confident there are some things in life more important than sports.
Texas, Michigan sounds pretty good.
Just wait until some chica steals your heart, and then you'll see. She want to get married on Super Bowl Sunday. Well, if she's got her heart set on it, maybe it's a special anniversary day for her. Maybe her grandparents got married on that day. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking you'll probably cave.
I guess so.
See? See, there are things more important than football. All right, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Coming up, the Jets, including Aaron Rodgers, addressing the Hassan Reddick holdout and his trade request. Micah Parsons weighs in about CeeDee Lamb. And, oh, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase. Is he now holding out as well? Can a girl get some confirmation? Good to have you with us at Amy After Hours or our Facebook page. It is After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the Hump Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
15 minutes left to connect with producer Ryan. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It is the Hump Show, middle show of the work week. And yeah, we're getting closer to the second weekend of the NFL preseason. And this is the critical one, because most often you are not going to see the starters in the third week. In the past, it's been the fourth week. It's the last week is really the point before cuts have to be made. And so you're seeing more and more guys that are fighting for roster spots, fighting to make the team, and coaching staffs who are trying to fill out their rosters and fill out those positions where they might need a little extra depth. So these are where the tough conversations happen, where the tough decisions are made, and a lot of that comes out of that third week and last week of the preseason. But we could very well see a bunch of starters in this second week. Remember last weekend, I guess it was Saturday, we saw the Bills starters play a quarter. We saw the Chiefs starters play a quarter. We did get a taste of that, more so coming up this weekend. Aaron Rodgers, he not only spoke to the media on Tuesday about this book that's being released. Now, it's called An Unauthorized Biography of Aaron Rodgers, written by Ian O'Connor. And the reason it's unauthorized is not because it may not be true. Ian's a very respected journalist and author, and according to Aaron, reached out to 500 different people, family and friends, people that Aaron knows or that know of him, that cross paths with him at some point in his life. And again, according to Aaron, Ian spoke to about half of those people, so he did his research. I've even heard Aaron say that there are stories about his grandfather, who is a World War II pilot and veteran, a hero. Stories about his grandfather that Aaron did not know until he read excerpts of the book. So while it's unauthorized because Aaron did not ask Ian to write it, it wasn't done with Aaron's cooperation or at his request. So it's not like Ian's a ghostwriter and he's writing this biography for Aaron. It is apparently very authentic. There's a lot of great intel in there. The stories are true. And Aaron says, based on what he's read and what he's heard, Ian did a good job with the book. So it'll be interesting, because his career's not done, right? So it'll be interesting to see how popular the book is now that he's wearing a Jets uniform. That's kind of a wrinkle in time as well. And let's hope that we get at least one more season with him on the field. I know Ian's probably hoping for that too, because the book will sell better if Aaron Rodgers is playing. So Aaron was talking about that a little bit. Our New York affiliate was out at Jets training camp on Tuesday. And so the show is called Boomer and Geo. This is featuring Boomer Esiason, former NFL MVP. They were doing their morning show from Jets camp, and they were asking Aaron Rodgers about the preseason and about getting out there, if at all.
I don't think I need to. as long as I'm making the right reactions in practice. You know, I obviously didn't get to play a whole lot last year. That's kind of a joke. But I was able to be back at practice, I think, so I didn't miss the entire year. There's a little bit maybe change in speed and mindset because now you can get hit when you're out there, but preseason is not real football. I've said that before. It's just different. Obviously, you're still tackling, so that part's real. And there's the threat of being rushed, which is real, but the coverages.
The coverage is what?
Just the coverages.
When I listened to that before the show, Ryan, I thought, okay, was that cut off in the middle of a sentence? And then I decided it'd be funnier that way, so I just left it. Whatever, the coverages, just the coverages, and then the coverages. But I don't know if that's a positive or a negative. Is that a pro or a con for preseason, the coverages?
Con. Hopefully.
Hopefully. So, yeah, we don't know whether or not we're going to see him. And I do appreciate the fact that Aaron calls preseason football fake football or not real football. Right, it's vanilla. It's not in any way meant for the offenses and defenses to test their actual plays or their actual formations against another team. They keep it very straight-laced and very bare, so they're not giving away too much. That includes the joint practices and the actual preseason games. Now, Rodgers lasted all of 4 snaps last season. That is well documented. But he does like the spotlight and the pressure of New York.
I've been fortunate enough to play for 2 organizations that set a standard of excellence, not, hey, let's just have a pretty good season. You know, let's be the best. And I think that's what you want to play. And you don't want to play in a city where they're just so excited to, you know, win a few games every year. You know, it's like, no, we're
New
York Jets.
You know, they want more.
Let's go, get it done and get the hell out.
Okay. He knows he's playing for the Jets, right? The standard is winning every year? The Jets?
The goal.
Okay, but that's a goal for every team. And I understand what he's saying. Some teams, some fan bases, if they haven't had success in a long time, they're more likely to be happy with a double-digit win season or a wild card. The Jets, they come up with creative ways to lose. They come up with creative ways to blow up their whole season. How in the world did he get... Oh, it's the pressure to be great. Okay, he actually compared Packers fans. I hope you're sufficiently offended. He compared the Packers' history and expectations to the Jets. Okay, we got to hear it again. This is the pressure. This is about the pressure of playing in New York.
I've been fortunate enough to play for 2 organizations that set a standard of excellence. Not,
stop right there.
Let's be the best.
A standard. You know, stop. I've heard enough. A standard of excellence? That is not the Jets. If you asked 100 football fans which teams in the NFL set a standard of excellence, I'll guarantee you the Jets would not be among the top 10 most popular answers. Stop it. The Jets have a standard of excellence. I think they have a hope for excellence, but I'm not sure they pursue that and they hold up a standard of excellence.
2 organizations that set a standard of excellence.
You just compared the standards for the Green Bay Packers, one of the most iconic football franchises, and really one of the most iconic teams in American sports, to the Jets. All right. I'm not sure anything else that you say after that I can listen to.
That's what did it?
No. It's just another confirmation that Aaron Rodgers is talking out of his butt half the time. Now, I get it. He needs to pump up this franchise, pump up the team that he's with. He's trying to make them believe that they can win. And I do think they have a talented roster, but a standard of excellence? No. Negative, Ghost Rider. That's not even remotely the case. Seriously, can you name 10 other NFL teams right now that have a higher standard than the Jets do based on their past?
There's about 29, 28.
Close. I don't think I'm asking too much by reminding people that the Jets, at times, they're completely woeful and inept. And they can't get out of their own way. A lot of this they do to themselves. It's not just the draft picks. It's the coaching. It's the, it's a lot of things. Anyway, for years, they've been the butt of NFL jokes. butt fumble. Pun intended. That was a jet. The butt fumble. That was a jet. That's been kind of a meme for the Jets franchise going back to their early inception and Super Bowl III. So standard of excellence, maybe you bring it to town, but not that you helped them do that last year. But standard of excellence compared to the Green Bay Packers, that's inaccurate, Aaron. But what about Hassan Reddick? Because he surely would help them to be more excellent on defense if the pass rusher was in camp or was available by the first game of the NFL season.
Well, there's always new things in the league that, you know, I've been around 20 years. I've seen a lot of stuff. I think as players, we always first try and side with the player because you know what it's like to be a player. I've played against Hassan before. I don't know him well. I've had a couple messages with him, I believe. when he got traded. Obviously, we'd love for him to be here, but you know, we don't judge him for trying to do what's best for him. I think what's best for him is to be a Jet because this is going to be a fun ride. But you know, he's got to make the best decision for him and his family.
Okay, a little more professional there. No, I'm just kidding. He was professional with Boomer and Geo, the morning show on our New York affiliate WFAN. But I'm hoping that someone made a face when he said two franchises with a standard of excellence.
Two organizations that set a standard of excellence.
Boomer played for the Jets. I hope at some point he called him out on that.
He doesn't remember texting a potential teammate from 2 months ago.
He's Aaron Rodgers. Of course, he's so popular. Popular. What about Robert Saleh and the fact that Hassan Reddick has requested a trade only to be denied by the Jets front office?
With regards to it, I think Joe kind of said it all. And it's a boring answer for you, but I'm focused on these guys. Focused on the things we got control over. I'll say this much, you know, guys like Will McDonald, Tech McKinley, we love our D-line group. It's really deep, and especially our DNs.
So in other words, I stand with the front office. The front office has said no. That's it. N-O, no, you will not be getting traded. And he's given up a lot of money right now by not being with the team in camp. So these holdouts get expensive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Did not think that Ja'Marr Chase was holding out. His situation was more like holding in, right? So think Jordan Love before he got his contract. Who else is holding in? There's someone else who's holding in and it's high profile. Brandon Ayuk. We'll go with him. He's also holding in. He's with the team, but he's not practicing. He's going through meetings, that kind of thing, but it's not going to get hurt. So there are guys that are holding in. Chris Jones was holding in last season. But when it comes to Ja'Marr Chase, he'd been practicing. And so now all of a sudden, not at practice on Tuesday, which sent the media scurrying to Zach Taylor.
Quick update, Ja'Marr, day to day. We'll take it one day at a time. I don't have any comment beyond that.
Day to day. I don't have any comment behind that or beyond that. That's the update. Well, come to find out, this is about his contract. Not that Zach Taylor can confirm or deny, but as he heads into the fourth year of his rookie deal, so this is not him going into the fifth and final year of his rookie deal. This is he still got one more year on that deal, plus the team can pick up the option. But for the first time in training camp, he wasn't there for practice. Now, he'd been holding in. He'd been looking for a contract extension. He'd at least been on the field, involved in drills, again, like Brandon Ayuk. But now Ja'Marr Chase, absent from practice. Mike Brown, who's the team president, part of the ownership, he has addressed the situation with Ja'Marr, wants to keep Ja'Marr. Now, this is going back to, not even a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago when they had their annual fan luncheon. And people wanted to know about his plans for Ja'Marr.
He's a key player. Next to Joe, he's our next one. And he knows it. We know it. This may take a while. We are going to bend over backwards to get it done. I can't tell you when, though.
So that was going back about 3 weeks ago. Didn't know when it would get done, only that it was a high priority. But he also indicated that at that point, on July 22nd, the fact that it wasn't done and they hadn't found terms that they could agree to was indicative that it might be a while still.
Things can happen. Opportunities can arise unexpectedly even, and you can put deals together. We're not going to say, oh, no, we aren't going to do that deal if it's the right deal. It's not so likely that this is the good time to negotiate. The off-season is a better time for that. And we're going to try to keep focused on the football part. So I'm not going to rule anything out, but I will tell you that the die has probably been cast.
Now, that was 3 weeks ago. And so Ja'Marr Chase may be turning up the heat a little bit by deciding, all right, the hold-in is not resulting in what I want. Maybe I have to take a more drastic route. So sounds like the team's been informed, and the way they're going to determine his status is, hey, day-to-day, he's here or he's not here. I think the JJ, the Justin Jefferson contract, really put the onus on these other receivers who are looking for deals. CeeDee Lamb, who's going into the final year of his contract. Brandon Ayuk, who also wants to have a new deal. And now Ja'Marr Chase. And you could say these are among the top wide receivers in the NFL. Tyreek Hill got paid also. And so the fact that contracts were handed out to those two guys means that these agents for these other players are looking to capitalize on the market being reset, looking for them to take advantage of this headline, Justin Jefferson paid X amount of money, guaranteed dollars. I mean, it's hot, right? It's hot off the presses. And so these agents and these receivers want to be able to hop on pop, if you will, and get that same treatment, get those deals done, and hoping that a little bit of pressure and leverage convinces their teams. We'll see. It's become very common for players to skip all or part of the preseason and maybe even hold out early into the regular season in order to get the deal done. But they decide that it's worth it to them once they have the big payday and they have the guaranteed money, the signing bonus, if you will. So now maybe Ja'Marr Chase is in that same category as Brandon and CeeDee Lamb, though we may eventually have a trade when it comes to Ayuk is on fire. All right, straight ahead. Ask Amy anything. Last couple of minutes to send your questions at Amy After Hours on our Facebook page, too. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
I can't wait to see not only what you posed, your questions for Ask Amy Anything, but also which questions Ryan chose. So it's really about personality, I think, and what questions are appealing. And I'm still learning, Ryan. So I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
I know that the Iowa State Fair was this week, and Randy from Facebook poses the question, what is your favorite food or ride at a state fair?
I will always ride a roller coaster, but at the state fair, you have some of those crazy rides like the pirate ship, the ones that they freak you out. So here's what I won't ride, that centrifugal force kind of gravity spinner that pins you to the walls and then the floor drops out. That one makes me sick. But one that I did discover, this was actually called Top Gun Maverick at the New Jersey State Fair earlier this summer. It was pretty incredible. You were essentially at the bottom, the big long arm, there are two of them, and at the bottom of this big long huge metal arm are a circle of seats. And so you start to spin on your arm, but then you start to go around and upside down. So you're spinning and you're going around, and they do it in a way that's a little bit like the pirate ship where they rock you back and forth. So think, you know, one of these big arms on either end. They rock you back and forth, and then finally you go all the way around, only to then go back and stop upside down at the top, at the pinnacle of this ride. So that one was pretty crazy. You kind of felt like you were going to come out of your seat. I mean, you weren't. You were locked in, but you weren't sitting. Your butt wasn't sitting in the seat, so that was pretty scary. I enjoyed that. My favorite fair food is, well, I haven't seen it in a while, but a cheeseburger on a glazed donut. That is absolutely my favorite thing I've ever had at the fair. But fried dough, or this past summer, a fried Twinkie. It was amazing. Anything fried, really, with powdered sugar.
Another food question. Matt Keys on Twix. Brownies, do you eat them plain or do you put nuts on top of your brownies?
I generally make brownies without nuts, but I have had them with nuts. I think I prefer to have them without. I make this cookie called a double chocolate brownie cookie. It's in the shape of a cookie, but it's got the consistency of a brownie. Oh, yeah. It's got chocolate chips in it. So no nuts, but a brownie cookie with chocolate chips in it. It's like chocolate overload. It's amazing.
That's interesting, actually. I would try that one. If you could sponsor, this is from David, by the way, on Facebook. If you could sponsor or be a mascot for one underappreciated Olympic team, kind of like Flava Flav, what would it be?
So an underappreciated team.
Team sport.
Part of USA. Okay. I got what you're saying. Underappreciated. Well, I am impressed with what the Rugby Sevens did. I'm not that rugged. I'm not that tough. But boy, did they have spirit. And that was amazing. So I loved that. But I also got to tell you, I was enraptured by what the synchronized swimming team was able to do in winning a silver medal. Team USA. I'd seen it before, but in past Olympics, it's an incredible combination of stamina and skill, artistry, gymnastics, ballet, not to mention what we see on a gymnastics floor exercise, you know, flips and all that kind of stuff. And they're doing it in perfect time. So maybe synchronized swimming or equestrian, because I love horses, or the rugbies. Those are some obscure sports that could use a little more publicity.
Cheering on the horses on the sidelines.
Oh, yeah. The horses are the stars, not the jockeys.
Ron from Facebook asks, if you were in a band, what instrument would you play and why?
Well, I do play the piano, so it would either be the piano or a keyboard. Though I really don't love keyboard, I prefer a traditional piano. And my favorite is a spinet. For those of you who know piano types, that's what I grew up on. That's what I have. That's what my mom has. So yes, I love piano, and I do believe that there is a place for piano in any kind of music, any genre, there's a place for a piano.
David from Facebook asked, what was your worst injury you've ever had in honor of him getting out of the hospital and you banging your knee on the door yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it was the gate that closed on my leg. But anyway, I'm sorry that you were in the hospital. Hope that you're doing better, David. My worst injury. I've actually never broken a bone, so that has never happened. But when I was in high school, I was going up for a rebound, this basketball, and as I was descending, like coming back down with the ball, a little bony-kneed guard was, for some reason, was going up like she was doing a jackknife in a pool, a cannonball, and she shoved her knee, or bony knee, into the small of my back. And that was tough. I mean, I went to a chiropractor. I had to get real warm to play that entire season. So that was probably the worst, was lower back pain. Yeah.
And that was on a rebound, too. It's something
right.
Like
bony knee guard. What are you doing in there? You're 5'2". Get out of there.
Hustling. That's what it is. Rich from Facebook asks, are you pro or anti Saved by the Bell?
I like the original, okay. I didn't like the reboots or the remakes.
Wait, they rebooted it?
Yeah, they did. They brought the same cast back. So they were older, and it was weird to see Screech, like an old Screech. So, yeah, it wasn't my favorite. I was much more 90210. That was my jam when I was in high school. But I did appreciate Saved by the Bell.
Brian asks, Jell-O or pudding?
It
seems like you want neither.
Yogurt. Ice cream, frozen yogurt.
You got to pick one.
Oh, okay. Pudding, I guess.
Okay, I respect that one. That's a good choice. Jell-O's a lot of work to do. Another food question. Robert asked, croissant or brioche in honor of France?
Oh, I love croissants. And I love flaky croissants with a bunch of butter. And if it can be a croissant that's also a breakfast sandwich, even better.
And then John from Facebook asked, is there any place that is a must stop on a trip for whether it be food or collectibles?
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so I love road trips. And when I do take road trips, I always stop at Flying J's. They always have a place to walk your dog. They have good food or drinks if you need it. They're open 24 hours. They've got clean bathrooms, which is a big deal. Their gas is generally at commensurate prices. So, yes, for those of you who drive cross-country, especially east to west, Flying J, that's where it's at.
I don't know what that is.
Well, you got to get out more. You got to do more road trips, Ryan. Yeah, Wawa's another one. But
that's about
Flying
it.
J special. Bucky's, now that I'm a Texas girl, or that I married into a Texas family.
I've heard of that.
Oh, yeah. They're becoming very touristy, though. They're much more tourist attractions now. And don't go on a Sunday, because half the state of Texas goes to Bucky's on a Sunday.
They've sold out to the mainstream, as you would say.
They definitely have.
And the last one, this is from me because nobody else asked it.
Oh.
You asked, what did your mother send to you by Amazon?
Oh, this is so cute. So I get two Amazon packages about 3 days apart. No idea what they are. Haven't ordered anything. Thinking, uh-oh, what did the Hubs order? I open it up. Both packages, two different sets of cards. For those of you who love cards, one, a box of five crowns, that card game, and the second, a set of euchre cards. So my mom, when I asked her what she wanted to do while she was visiting me, she's like, oh, we need to stay close to home. We'll do a little cooking, a little shopping. And then I get cards that show up in the mail. So that's what my mom wants to do. She's a card shark. She learned from her father, who was my grandfather, who always beat us at cards and laughed while he was doing it too. But I do have a surprise for my mom. I'm pretty excited about this. Coming up on Friday night, the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra is playing The Godfather in concert. So in other words, they're playing the Oscar-nominated score while the movie airs on a big screen. Little known fact about Amy Lawrence, I've never seen The Godfather. This will be my first time, and my mom is going with us. So it's date night for me and the Hubs and mom. I mean, why not? It sounds wonderful. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.